Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the fellowship hour right now, as the hour that you have called and you're calling your people together. Glory to God, uniting us to the word. Hallelujah. And we're going to stand fast in the faith. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that the entrance of your word, as always, will shine that light in our hearts today and let it give us understanding. Praise the Lord, and encouragement. We give the Lord the praise and give the Lord all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, again, welcome. Going to get right to it. Today's lesson is an encouragement in the faith. You know, faith has got to be one of my favorite subjects. And I often like to, you know, no matter what which direction we go, occasionally we'll come right back and just, you know, bring a little exhortation, lesson, or whatever as a faith booster. So today, our lesson is titled, Stand Fast in the Faith. That's right. Even if you are the last man standing. Stand fast in the faith. Hallelujah. Even if you're the last man standing. So there's a lot of scriptures I want to exhort us with today. But there are a few other things I want to say. And so stay with me as we go through this lesson. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Engage, as we always say, definitely do engage the lesson in the spirit. That's how you get anything out of it. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. Now, so that's where the title is taken from. Stand fast in the faith. You know, he said, look, be watchful. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. Well, be watchful. We understand. Stand fast in the faith. We're going to talk about today. But what does quit ye like men mean? Well, it means don't be like a regular person. You are a spiritual warrior. It doesn't mean give up, but it means, you know, change your posture. Hallelujah. Become a battle-tested believer. Don't be a pushover for the devil. Hallelujah. Stand your ground and be strong. Now, there are many scriptures that encourage us to be strong in the Lord. You know, the Bible never say be weak, and you know, but always be strong. I mean, so many scriptures tell us that, to be strong in the Lord, and we are going to look at a few of them today. Praise the Lord. Being strong in the Lord carries many benefits. And how do we do that? How do we stand fast in the faith? You know, and how do we give up the weak position and always come into the battle from a position of strength? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Ephesians chapter 6, another place where the scripture talks about us being strong in the Lord. Now, there's a lot of emphasis throughout the scriptures on being strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, the scripture doesn't admonish or encourage us about something if we are already like that. Most of the time, you know, it tells us, you know, so we can aspire to be like that. Put on strength. Hallelujah. Put on strength. Glory to God. You know, now, say finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what gives you a position of strength, that you may be able to stand. This lesson is going to be about standing. able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Why? Well, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means it's not people that you're fighting, you know, but you are wrestling against principalities. Those principalities might get inside of the people, the wickedness, the spiritual, against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, they get inside of people and come out against you through the people, but it's not the people that you are fighting. It's the spirit that is in them. That's who your real enemy is. And now it tells you to take on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I mean, just take a look at how many times in these four verses he has already talked about standing. See, said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Then he comes here and say, look, take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, so I call this last man standing. In other words, you know, there's a battle going on, but you're going to stand your ground no matter what, even if you're the last man standing. That's right. Praise God. You know, you're not going to give up any ground. You know, and there's a lot of weapons that he talks about here. I'm not going to go through much into that, but I'll just read through it briefly. You know, talks about, you know, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, Paul, looking at those Roman soldiers from the prison, he saw how they were clad. You know, they, you know, how they get, you know, put all these things. You know, so looking at, you know, they got the girdle or the belt, you know, around their loins. You know, they got the breastplate, they got the, you know, shoes put on, you know, and all of these things, you know, helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, you know. But I love the one where it says, above all, that's in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. And that's a powerful stuff, you know, put on all these other things, strap everything else on, but above all, you got that shield. And, you know, those Roman soldiers, they used to carry, you know, those heavy, well, they couldn't even carry. Sometimes they just push or drag because they have these big shields, you know, thick inches of armor, of iron. They just stay behind it. The arrows could not penetrate. You know, whatever you do, take on this shield of faith by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, the enemy will throw arrows, he'll throw darts, he'll throw everything at you. But you quench it all. Every which way it comes, you got that shield. You throw it this way, you got the shield. You throw it that way, you got the shield. He throws it against you that way, you got the shield. I mean, and your shield of faith creates like a force field around you. Even when you are sleeping, your faith is still working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your faith is still working even while you are sleeping. It creates a force field around you and quenches all the things that the devil may throw at you. Praise the Lord. Now, listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to just read a few verses there. He says, in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, you know, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was his son in the faith, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so many admonitions about being strong and standing fast in the faith. Now, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same coming down to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, that's what we are praying will happen through this platform by the grace of God. You know, it creates a ripple effect, a cascading effect. You know, the Lord brings it to me and to speakers in this room. We share it, and then you take it, and you share it with others, and they take it, and they share it with others. And that's how it grows. That's how the Word of God grows and multiplies. You know, you put it to faithful people who can also teach others also. Now, listen to verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you in the Lord's army? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him stand up. Let him take his position. Take your position. Suit up. Hallelujah. Now, this is no time, you know, to back down. No. But you must be strong in the Lord. And you must endure hardness. Now, hardness means, you know, I mean, it's not just going to be a walk in the park, or, you know, it's not going to be, you know, a piece of cake or whatever they call it. You know, the devil's going to come at you from every which way. But come at you, he may. But you're going to come at you one way. You send him back seven ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, you put on, you know, look, don't put up with the devil. Don't let the devil play ping pong with your life. You know, don't be a pushover. That's what quit you like man means. Don't be a pushover for the devil. Now, you must stand your ground on whatever promise of God you're standing on. Stand your ground. Listen, no man who is a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You know, when they're in training camp, you know, whether it's the special forces, whether it's the Marines, whether it's whoever, you know, when they're in training camp, they cut off all the excesses, you know, they can cut off the pleasure and so forth. They got to focus on the mission. Practice, practice, practice. They got a target, you know, maybe they got to go in there and save some hostages or whatever they got to do. They got the thing, they got to practice and get it down to perfection. Now, you yourself also, you know, cut off all the things that are distractions so that you may please him who has called you to be a soldier. Now, listen to this. If a man also strive for masteries, that's an athlete, you know, an athlete that's striving for masteries or, you know, any kind of sports, you know, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What does that mean? Well, that means there are rules of engagement. You cannot just make your own rules as you go along. Can't do that. You know, you got to play by the rules. I mean, I love to watch the track and field and sports and things like that. You know, and I know that, you know, sometimes I watch, you know, when the Summer Olympics and things, I enjoy watching those things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody, I've watched, you know, some events where a team was jubilating. They thought they won. It has happened to the United States, you know, men's 4x100 meters. They dropped the baton in one Olympics. You know, actually they didn't drop the baton. They exchanged the baton outside, you know, the box. You know, there's a certain place you must exchange within that range. If you get the baton before or outside that, you'll be disqualified. Well, it so happened that they got the baton outside that range and they, you know, they were jubilating at the end of the race. You know, they already carried the U.S. flag and taking their victory lap and so forth. Meanwhile, the officials were reviewing the tape and at the end, they were disqualified. So just because you run, you know, just because you cross the finish line, doesn't mean you're going to get crowned if you do not do it according to the rules. You know, no. So there are rules along the way and we can't make up our own rules. These rules are in the book. Hallelujah. We find what it says in the book and you stick to it. And that's the only way to do it. Now, but this book is designed, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know, why does it say mouth? Well, we got to be declaring what it says. You know, you would declare it as it says it. It's a powerful thing, but you would not give up your position, even if it looks like things are going in the opposite direction of what you are praying about. That's right. You know, sometimes we are praying and believing God for something, and it doesn't seem like it's happening exactly as we are believing. Stand fast in the faith. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't yield. You know, one of devil's tools is called, is A1, one of his A1 tools is discouragement. Discouragement comes in any number of ways. You know, what do you, when you're going through situation, are you standing fast? What is your testimony? I mean, is your testimony such like, well, we can't do that. I mean, there's giants in the way. I mean, we look like grasshoppers. They're going to chew us up. The land, you know, consumes us. You know, all kinds of negative things. Or is your testimony, well, we can do it. Hallelujah. God, the Lord is with us. We're going to have them for lunch. Glory to God. You know, let's go in at once and do this thing. You know, what do you see on this journey? Do you see a land of promise that's flowing with milk and honey? And do you see yourself as able to go in and take, you know, get victory and possess the place? Or do you see giants along the way? You can choose to see anything you want. Praise the Lord. You know, and I love to encourage people and say, look, it's your choice. You can choose to see the thorns, or you can choose to see the roses. Roses never grow without thorns. They always grow in the midst of thorns. But somebody will see the roses. Others, all they see will be the thorns. Well, what do you see? You know, I love it the way in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, when these patrollers and alerters, when they go back and forth and come and report to the Lord. And when the Lord say, hey, what's happening? Well, they say in verse 11 of Zechariah chapter 1, you know, say, well, you know, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth seated still and is at rest. Well, I don't think the earth was sitting still and the earth was at rest, but that's what they chose to see. That's the realm in which they operated. They said, all is at well. I mean, all is at rest and all is well. That's what they saw. Even when all wasn't well and all wasn't at rest. But that's what they chose to report. And that's actually what they are reporting about you. Hallelujah. They're reporting that it is well with you. All is at rest for you. That's what they are reporting. And so we need to align ourselves with them and stand fast in the faith. Isaiah, you know, he reported similar thing in Isaiah chapter 6. He had the experience of seeing the Lord, you know, high and lifted up. I mean, strain filled temple and so on. Then he heard, you know, one cherubim crying and saying to another and so forth. You know, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3. The whole earth is full of his glory. I don't think the whole earth was full of his glory. But that's what they chose to see. Hallelujah. They chose to see the glory. They chose to report the good things, you know, and so forth. You know, there's a lot of wickedness in the earth. I mean, but you know, these alerters and these patrollers, these ministering spirits that are sent for to minister on your behalf, they are reporting good things. They're not reporting the evil. You know, so, you know, let's align ourselves. Stand fast in the faith. Now, listen to, you know, how we get victory over testings and trials. Now, just because we're believing God for something and we're praying for something, you all know this and you all have experienced this. And some of you are experiencing this right now. Just because you're believing God and praying for something, even if God has promised the thing, it doesn't mean it's going to be handed unto you on a platter. Because my devil is going to have something to say about it. And he's going to fight that thing. And if he has anything to say about it, gonna make sure you don't get it. You know, so that's why you got to stand your ground and not give an inch. But here are some exhortations for us. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Who always, now that's always, ladies and gentlemen, always causes us to triumph. Now, it's not sometimes we triumph. Oh, no. And it's not Sometimes we lose, win some, we lose some. No, win all. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to talk about that in a bit. You know, God wants us to always triumph in Christ, making manifest the savor of his knowledge through us in every place. Hallelujah. And the knowledge of the glory of God covering the earth. You know, what do you see? What are you looking at? You know, are you seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Absolutely. Even though if it doesn't look like that, see it by the eye of faith. Listen to how Paul again puts it. And Paul, he loved to give his testimony. And many of us quote these things. But is it your testimony? These things that we're about, some of these things that we're about to read that Paul says, you know, when you go to, you know, in the litigation courtroom, sometimes, you know, those lawyers, they come out, they say, well, the evidence will show that when they give their opening statement, the evidence will show that such and such and such. And then at times during cross-examination and different things, they may say, look, is it your testimony that this and this and this? Well, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that Paul states, which we all quote, but I'm going to ask us today, is it your testimony? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's see what Paul says. And I want to ask whether that is your testimony. You know, do you have that posture of standing fast in the faith? And I'm going to still be standing even if I'm the last man standing. Well, let's see how Paul put it. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, starting from verse 8, he said, we are troubled on every side. Well, troubled on every side. I mean, we're supposed to be in peace. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, but, you know, my peace, Jesus said, you know, but, you know, if he give us his peace, then why is it that we are still troubled on every side? Huh? Why is it? John 14 and 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I already gave you my peace. Praise God. I'm going to be talking about what peace means in a minute. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read Paul's testimony. And I'm going to ask in a minute whether this is your testimony. We are troubled on every side, but listen to his testimony. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. You know, we never give up. We're persecuted, but we're never forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That means never staying down for the count. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, you know, if you love to watch boxing, you may have seen a few fights. You know, I've seen a few boxing fights, and I've seen one remarkable fight that I actually remembered where one person was knocked down, you know, and during the bout. It's a 15-round heavyweight championship bout. You get knocked down in round 3. So what? They came back and they still won the fight because they did not stay down for the count. But, you know, when you get knocked down and you are a prize fighter like that, the camp of the enemy on the other side saying, stay down. That's what they're saying now. As the referee is counting, 1, 2, they're saying, stay down. Because they want you to stay down. Yeah, that's the enemy and the devil. They stay down for the count. Well, in your corner though, your manager, your corner is saying, get up. Hallelujah. Get up. And then the other side saying, stay down. And so you are on the mat, you know, you're hearing the stay down, you're hearing the get up, which voice is going to be louder, you know, and then maybe, you know, you look into the audience and you look into the people that are there and you may see a familiar place. You look where, you know, your loved ones are sitting or whoever is your greatest supporter. You look over there and you see them say, get up. You can't hear them because there's a lot of noise. But you see them, you know, grimacing and saying, get up. Glory to God. And you pull it together. Hallelujah. You get up out of that thing. Now, Holy Spirit is always on your side. is in your corner, say, get up now. You got this. Glory to God. He's telling you, you got this. You know, you got to get up though. You got to finish the fight. You don't lay down for the devil. Oh, no, no, no. Don't lay down for the devil. And don't give that devil the satisfaction of thinking he knocked you out. Glory to God. Praise God. I don't know. My stature is too small to be a boxer. But I think if I was ever a boxer, and I don't think I'd lay down for anybody. You know, I'm going to get me some. You know, there is no way in the world I'm laying down for the count. You know, you can cheap shot me, but I'm getting up out of that place. You know, so the devil is not going to be able to put you down and leave you down there. Now, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you how to reload your faith in a minute. But let's look at some of that testimonies that Paul would give. Now, here's another one in Romans chapter 8. Again, this is Paul's testimony. But can you make it your testimony as well? Or is your testimony similar? In Romans chapter 8, we look at it. Let's pick it up from verse 35. He says, look, what shall separate us, you know, from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or even the sword. You know, look, we may be killed all day long. I mean, all these things may be happening to us. But look, he said, look, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not just a conqueror, but you are more than, you are a battle-tested believer. You know, you've taken that shot, you know, on the chin and the belly and the in the gut, every which way you've taken it, but you keep bouncing back. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, look, for I am persuaded. Now, remember, he started out by saying, you know, who shall separate us? You know, we are this. He's using the plural tense in all these chapters. But when he drops down to verse 38, he drops down into the personal testimony. For I, he didn't say for we right now, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Is it your testimony that none of these things are going to put you down or out? Well, Paul said, look, I am persuaded that neither death, even death, you know, even if death tried to kill him, or life, you know, or angels, or principalities, or powers, whatever, things that are present, things that are not yet even happened, I am persuaded that whether I'm up or down or any other creature, none of these things can separate us. He was persuaded. Now, what does that mean? Well, when things are good, I'm good. When things are bad, I'm good. When I am up, I'm good. When I am down, I'm good. When things are sideways, I'm good. Hallelujah. I'm always good because I am persuaded that no matter what it looks like right now, I'm good. Glory to God. And that's the thing that we want to talk about today. Are you good? Or are you only good when the going looks good? You know, let's talk about peace. When Jesus said, I give you my peace. Well, what is peace? Well, peace is good. I mean, it's like, you know, everything's quiet. There's no trouble and so forth. Now, peace is not always the absence of trouble. The kind of peace that Jesus gives is not always the absence of trouble. The absence of trouble is good. I mean, Asa, Solomon, many of them, Jehoshaphat, at different times in their reign, God gave them peace all about. Some of them 15 years, some many years, you know, they would just have peace, no wars, nothing. You know, but David, on the other hand, my goodness, he never had peace. He was always being chased from one place to another. You know, but peace, even in the midst of trouble. That's right. Even when the news doesn't sound so good, can you still have peace? Hallelujah. Even in the midst of the storm. Oh, are we going to only have peace when, you know, there's no storm? What if there is storm? And there will always be storm. Jesus said it himself. John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world, as long as you are in the world, you shall have storms and tribulations and so forth. But be of good cheer. I already overcame the world for you. You just got to hold on to me. Hallelujah. Now, classic story, which I've told many times, and I love to use it when I speak on these subjects. Jesus says to the disciples, and you'll find this story in a couple of different places, you know, but I love it where you look at it in the book of Mark. He says to his disciples, well, you know, let us cross over to the other side. And, you know, as they were going to the other side, well, they got in the boat and all hell broke loose. You can read that story in Mark chapter 4. Jesus says to them in verse 35, let us pass over to the other side. Yeah, so they got in the boat and so forth. And, you know, as soon as they got in the boat, all hell broke loose. Well, but what Jesus said was, let us pass over to the other side. Not let's go and perish in the middle of the sea. Let's go over to the other side. But there was a difference between how Jesus reacted and the disciples reacted. Jesus reacted like what I am trying to bring out in this lesson today. Standing fast in the faith, even in the face of the storm, because he was prayed up. Hallelujah. You know, the times when the disciples were not praying, he would wake up early in the morning, go to the mountain, he'd be prayed up. When they were eating and drinking, he was fasting. He was always prayed up, you know. But he also knew something that they didn't know at that time. They knew it later, but they didn't know it at that time. He knew that the word that he spoke would sustain itself. He also knew that the storm would come and pass. They didn't know that, but he knew because he said, let us go to the other side. Pass over to the other side. That's the mission. The mission is not, well, let's just go and see if we get there. No. The mission is, let us pass over to the other side. Now, so storm may come against you, but what's your posture in the midst of the storm? Now, the promise that God gave you, which is passing through to the other side, things will come out against you in the middle of that journey to make it look like you will not get there and you will not attain that promise. Whatever it is, the devil will come out against you with storms and everything, tempests and all. Well, you can run helter-skelter like chicken with head cut off, just like the disciples. Or you can take a pillow in the back of the boat and snooze, because you already knew that the word said, let's pass over to the other side. And you already knew that, look, the storm will do its thing. Look, it's not every storm that the Lord is going to rebuke. You know, storms will do the thing. You know, the Bible says stormy wind fulfilling his word, hails and stone. You know, storms, sometimes they can be on an errand from God because they are fulfilling his word. You know, so if the storm is God's servant and I'm God's servant, we can't be contrary to each other. It's doing its thing. I'm doing my thing. Hallelujah. But, you know, if you don't have that understanding that the storm will pass, Jesus had that understanding. He knew the storm was coming, but it didn't bother him. He was just going to sleep through the storm. He was steadfast in the faith of what he already said. Let's pass over to the other side. And he knew the storm would come and pass. In fact, he had no intention whatsoever of rebuking that storm. He was just going to sleep through it. But when the disciples came bothering him in his sleep, Master, don't you care that we perish? He got up and said, what's happening? He said, well, you know, we're about to die. And you are here sleeping. And Jesus, he did two things. Well, he rebuked the storm, but he also rebuked the disciples. You know, why is it that you have no faith? You know, why is it that you are so fearful? So he rebuked them. You know, now, so that means, look, if you have faith, you don't need to be fearful. And if you are fearful, it will hinder your faith. You know, so Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now listen, let's examine that for a minute. What it means is that in the midst of things that could create fear, this tempest, this whatever you're going through, whatever is said against you or said to you or report that you get or whatever, you know, what do you do and how do you stand in the faith still? Jesus said, well, he looked at them and they were so fearful. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So if you are fearful, it will reveal the fact that you don't have faith. And Jesus, you know, he was disappointed because he thought they could handle. He knew actually they could handle, but they didn't handle. Now, what would have gotten them across from point A to point B was not going to be the absence of a storm. Didn't matter whether there was storm or no storm. It wasn't going to be the mastery of the shipmaster or the boat captain or whatever to maneuver through the storm, all of that. Maybe. But what was going to get them through was the word that was spoken. Let us pass over to the other side. Now that word, that's enough. That will sustain itself. Calm, storm, or not. Didn't matter. Now, no storm or night can last forever. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us, you know, sorrow may endure for a night. Well, I love to put it this way. The night may look even like it's going longer, but at some point in time, a day will break. And that's always it. That's the night and day, seasons and so on. You know, God put it out there. You know, it'll be like that for now until God removes time. But as long as there is time, there's always going to be night and day. That's how God called it forth. And the night, no matter how dark, cannot last forever. So stand fast in the faith, even during the night, knowing that at some point in time, this night too shall pass, just like every other night. And the night, no matter how long, even during the winter months here in some winter states in the U.S., the night gets longer, 2-3 hours longer. I mean, it starts earlier and it goes longer and the day is really, I mean, the thing's really dark. Even when it should be day, it's dark, you know, and it stays dark for a long time. But no matter what, no matter how long that darkness lasts, it cannot last forever. Because that's the ordinances that God set in place. At some point in time, that day must break. Hallelujah. Now, we translate that to the faith, to your faith. It causes you to stand fast in the faith. No matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to stand fast. Let's listen to Proverbs 24 and verse 10. You know, I'm going to read 2 verses out of Proverbs 24. Verse 10 and verse 16. Now, in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it says, look, if you faint just because adversity comes, then your strength is small. But remember, Jesus didn't care, and the Bible doesn't care too much about small strength. He wants us to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. The people that do know their God, they shall be stronger and do exploits. Daniel 11 and 32. I mean, all these verses tell us to be strong, quit ye like men, stand fast in the faith, be strong in the Lord. You know, so now, but if you faint in the day of adversity, then it means your strength is small. So you got to figure out how to put on strength. Hallelujah. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Well, you put on strength too. It's not only the arm of the Lord put on strength. You can put on strength too. And don't let the devil push you around. You know, just because of maybe a little disappointment here or there, you know, all of those things will turn out for a blessing. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord in your heart and you are the called according to his eternal purpose, Romans 8:28 tells us it will all eventually work out. Hallelujah. Now, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But the just man, the righteous man, he's not going to stay down for the count. Verse 16 of Proverbs 24 says, a just or righteous man may fall seven times, but he's going to arise again. I mean, how did Micah put it? Well, in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, he said, look, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Why? Because when I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. This darkness cannot be forever. The day is going to break. And I'm not staying down for the count. I am going to bounce back. This man said it. Hallelujah. And so, you know, and the Lord says, look, in Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8, this is how you stand fast in the Lord. You don't trust in man. You don't trust in, you know, the wisdom of men or science or anything. You trust in the Lord. Glory to God. Psalms 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, those that trust in chariots and horses and some other things, they are brought down and falling. But we who trust in the Lord and remember the name of our God, we are arisen and we stand. Now, that this lesson is about standing. We stand upright. Hallelujah. So stand and don't be bent down. Don't be let your head be bowed down either. Stand. Glory to God. Now, listen to Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Yeah, this is again an encouragement that you must win every battle. Climb every mountain. Win every battle. Win the small ones. Win the big ones. Everyone. This one, that one. That one, this one. Now, Jeremiah 12 and 5 says, if you have run against footmen and you are weary, how can you contend against horses? You know, so that means, when you little things come your way and you get rattled, how then are you going to face bigger things? So you win the little things. You win the foot race against footmen. Then you stand a chance to contend against horses. You know, now, and it goes on to say, look, if when everything was going good, you know, which people call, you know, the land of peace and so forth, you know, in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, even when everything seemed quiet, and yet a little trouble, and you're weary. What are you going to do when all hell breaks loose at the swelling of Jordan? Because at certain times of the year, Jordan overflowed its banks, you know. And what are you going to do when everything comes crashing down? If when everything is quiet, you give up because of a little thing here and there. So stand fast in the faith. Now, how do you reload your faith? I want to talk about reloading your faith. Reloading your faith, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, things happen and we get shaken a little bit. Well, during those times, you must reload your faith. Well, Jesus was a good example. He always knew how to go and pray and pray, get prayed up and prayed up and prayed up. But let's see, you know, I love, you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, let's look about, you know, what about David? David was a man that knew how to reload his faith. You know, I'm going to give you a few examples of other people that knew how to reload their faith. Paul, he knew how to reload his faith. Micah, I already gave you his own testimony. Even Habakkuk, let's read some of these things. You know, there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first six verses. Ziklag. Some people were, you know, following David to battle, you know, and they went and so forth. And by the time, you know, they came back, they had destroyed the place. The enemies had come in, destroyed the place where they were, burned the place down, carried away their wives, their children, daughters, sons, everything. And so the people were distressed. They were very distressed. They were angry, you know, because the Amalekites had come against them and wasted their stuff. And, you know, they actually talked about stoning the David because, you know, we followed you to battle. So what happened to us now? You know, and the people were angry. All of them came. They wept until there was no voice left in them to weep. David's own wives and children also are captive. Everybody. And David was greatly distressed. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters and their wives and everything. You know, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, this is how you reload your faith. How did he do it? Well, let's take a look. Psalm 42, verses 3-8. And David, he said, look, my soul, why art thou disquieting? Yeah, you should be in a place of rest and quietness, but no, you're not. You're troubled and so forth. Your soul is troubled. Your soul is where all those troubles and emotions are. Well, my soul, why art thou distressed within me? You know, why art thou disquieted within me? This is what he said. He said, my tears, Psalm 42 verse 3, have been my meat day and night. You know, devil say, where is your God? I thought you were believing. Now, see. You know, I thought you were getting the victory. Now, see. You know, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Well, I've gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Even with the voice of joy and praise. You know, a lot of people do that. They go to the house of worship. And in the midst of the people are jumping and shouting and praising. Praising the victory, with shouting the voice of victory and praising the beauty of holiness. But right there, they're going through the motions, but their soul is distressed. Their soul is distressed. And just, you know, this man said the same thing. Well, people around me, you know, that are shouting the victory, you know, and so forth, but my soul is distressed. But what did he do? Is he just going to languish in distress? No, he's going to pick up the pieces. He's going to challenge his own soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? And he's going to talk to his own soul. He's going to talk himself out of it. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Hallelujah. With the help of his countenance. My soul is cast down and so forth. He said, well, yeah, but I will remember some of the goodness of the Lord. When your soul is cast down, remember the Lord. You know, when you seem that you are in the darkness, remember the days of the light. When you seem like you are down in the doldrums and in the valley, remember when you were on the mountaintop with the Lord. When it seems like the voice of the Lord is far and you can't even hear his voice and you are in the dark, remember what he told you when you were in the light. Hallelujah. You know, and these things are so. And he said, look, in multiple places in this chapter, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Said it again and again and again. I will yet praise him. Told his soul, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And I will, you know, come out, you know, because he's going to be the health of my countenance. He's going to cause my countenance to be brightened again. If your countenance is downcast because of disappointment or whatever it is, or things are not going right, you know, and so forth, well, reload your faith. Hallelujah. Reload your faith. Now, Paul himself, he said it again in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. He said, look, I am instructed in every which way. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And in everything and everywhere, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I know how to suffer, need, I know how to abound. When things are good, I'm good. When things are bad, I'm still good. Hallelujah. That's what Paul is saying. I can do all things. Now, is that your testimony? Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Now, this is not exactly saying the Lord can do all things through me. We know that. But he turning it around, encouraging himself and saying, I can do all things because the Lord is strengthening me. There's times when you have to take that posture. Hallelujah. You know, and don't take the posture that, well, I'm already defeated. Well, devil say, well, you're already defeated, you know, and so forth. You know, Job's wife told him, well, you're already defeated. Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, and the devil will say all kinds of things, you know, and, but you can also stand fast in the faith no matter what. And Job said, I'm going to stand fast in the faith no matter what. Blessed be the Lord God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. And you can throw everything at him, arrows, darts, the kitchen sink and all. He's going to stand fast and he stood fast. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This man was literally bankrupt. I mean, had nothing going for him. You might call it that, you know. But let's see his reaction. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. And everything is not working. The vineyard, no harvest, nothing. These were the things they depended on in those days. The fields are not yielding meat. Flocks are cut off. And everything, there's no herd in the cattle. I mean, there's no money in the bank. Your stocks are failed. You know, you lost your job. Whatever. Your health is failing. You know, or whatever. You know, or, you know, whatever you believe in from the Lord is, doesn't seem to be forthcoming right away. You know, what are you going to do? What's your response? Hallelujah. What is the answer of faith that's coming from you? Well, this man's answer was, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Ha! Glory to God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. As his testimony. He will make my feet like hind's feet. He's going to make me walk upon my high places. You know, and these people, they knew how to stir themselves up. Now, what are the assurances that God has given us? Well, here's one. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When, not if. So the Lord already knew that these things are coming your way. When you pass through, not if you are going to pass through, but pass through you will. Now, I love Isaiah 43 verse 2 because it doesn't say if, and also it doesn't say into. It doesn't say if you go into the river or if you go into the fire. No, it says when. So which means it will happen. But it doesn't say into. It says pass through. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's already God's assurance for us. Look, stuff will happen, but you are going to pass through. Amen. That's it. You know, so that's our assurance. When thou passest through the waters. Well, passing through means you are coming out on the other side. Well, that's what the psalmist said. Psalm 23 and verse 5. When I pass through, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not walk into. If you walk into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dead end. You're not coming out if you walk into it. But because he knew in his heart that he's coming out on the other side, he put it out that way. Though I walk through, glory to God, the valley of the shadow of death, I know I'm coming out on the other side. And God is saying here to you also, when you pass through those waters, and it is going to happen. You're going to have some waters that may almost overwhelm you, but it's almost, but it will never overwhelm you. When you pass through the rivers, glory to God, when you walk through the fire, look at each time the way he uses the through. It's going to happen. You're going to have those experiences, but you are coming out on the other side. Guaranteed. He already said it here. Pass through the waters. Pass through the fire. You will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you, and the water shall not overflow you. For I am the Lord thy God. Glory to God. That's his assurance. Now listen to this also, you know, that he says in Isaiah 51 verses 12 and 13. Here's another assurance because sometimes we feel that, well, you know, I'm trusting the Lord and so on and so forth and things are not working out right. But what did he say then? Well, you know, he said, look, I, even I, am he that comforted you. Who art thou that I should have afraid of a man? What can a man do to you? Or the son of man that shall die and be made as grass? And you forget the Lord thy maker, that stretched forth the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear every day because of the fury of the oppressor. What? Any, as if the oppressor is ready to devour. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is it? The Lord said, look, why are you fearing because of this and that? As if he's going to kill you. As if this thing is going to overwhelm you. As if you're going to fail. You know, the Lord, it is he that doth go with you. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. He will stand by you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will not fail you. He already promised that. He will stand by you. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. And those are God's assurances. He will not fail thee. Neither will he forsake you. So fear thou not, and be thou not dismayed. He will not fail you. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I don't care which way the weapon comes. It doesn't say the weapon will not be formed, but it says it will not prosper. Glory to God. So the weapon is not going to prosper. It can be formed. It can be a weapon of the tongue. It can be the scourge of the tongue, the scourge of men. It can be, you know, accusations of the devil. It can be an evil report. It can be disappointment. It could be a loss of your job. It could be something in your health. It could be, you know, some prayer you're praying for that is seem delayed. It could be whatever method the devil tries to bring anything against you. It will not prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will not prosper. Hallelujah. God, the Lord has a way that he does it. Thank you, Jesus. Job chapter 5 and verse 12 says, the Lord will disappoint all the devices of the devil. That's right. It's not that the devil will not craft those devices up to come against you, but the Lord will disappoint them all. The Lord will make sure his hand cannot perform and prosper in any of his enterprise against you. Hallelujah. Now, he will try it. He will try to do it. He will form the weapon, but he will not prosper. Glory to God. Now, your posture will be, I'm standing fast in the faith. Even if I'm the last man standing, devil is not knocking me down or out. And if by chance, you know, sometimes we are careless, the devil takes advantage and cheap shot you. That may happen. It happens to the best of us sometimes. But you got to pick yourself up from the ground. Hallelujah. And don't stay down. You got to get up. And you got to finish the fight. You know, one time, you know, I watched a race. You know, the United States was in a women's race and a relay. And one veteran was there. And I love the girl, you know, and she was there, Phyllisson Alice. And Allison Felix, sorry. And she was about to get the baton. She got the baton, rather. She was about to give the baton to a rookie. Somebody bumped her and they dropped the baton. And it was like, oh my goodness. And they were built to win that race. I mean, they were the favorites. They dropped the baton. What are we going to do? And everybody put their hand on their head. And this woman, Allison Felix, being a veteran, she goes and picks up the baton and walks to the girl in front of her and say, finish the race. Hallelujah. You know, and the girl is like, well, the race is already over. And so she finishes the race. This is third leg. She runs it. She runs through. She finds, you know, she finds the other person, you know, in the last leg. She gives them the baton and they finish the race. The race already over almost a minute ago, but they finish the race anyhow. But this woman, Alison Felix, who was the veteran, she knew that to even stand a chance, you got to pick up the baton and finish the race. Like the devil knocked them off the track. It was actually somebody that bumped her. So they went and made a protest. Now, if you don't finish the race, you can't even make a protest, right? So they finished the race, and they went and made a protest. And when they reviewed the tape, sure enough, they were correct. Somebody in the other lane bumped against her and caused her to lose the baton. It wasn't that she dropped the baton. Somebody actually bumped her. But you see, if she hadn't picked up the baton and handed it to the other girl and said, finish the race. You got to finish the race. You know, if they hadn't done that, they would never have had a chance. Well, they did finish the race. So they looked at the tape and they saw that, well, they actually had a case. And they had to file it within, you know, X number of minutes. So, you know, they filed the complaint, but it was because they actually finished the race. You know, and then they reinstated them and said, well, okay, what you're going to do is you're going to run the race again, you know, and then you can qualify on time and you're going to run the race by yourself. And I'm going to have the people who already qualified run again. They already qualified. So, but if you can run the race, you're going to be in the same lane that you were before. You're going to run the race again. And if your time, you know, can beat some of the others, you can get in by time. So they went in, they ran the race again. All by themselves, all eyes on them. No excuse now. You can't see anybody bumped against you. But they ran that race and they qualified on time. Their time was actually better than some of the others. So they put them in. But meanwhile, you know, in the finals, all the better lanes were already taken. They had the worst lane. You know, I was a track and field athlete. I know about this. They took lane zero or lane one, which was the sharpest turn. Well, when they got into the finals, all of that disappointment fired them up. And they're going to prove to everybody that, look, you know, we can do this. And they were so fired up, they actually won that race. Hallelujah. They won that race. Why? Because one person who was a veteran knew that I got to pick up the baton, even if it gets knocked out of my hand. And I got to finish the race. You know, we can't be, you know, knocked down. No. Stay down. No. We got to finish the race. She knew that. She encouraged her teammate to do it. They did it. They eventually won the gold. Hallelujah. You know, so true story. You can look it up on the internet. You know, so you got to finish the race. You got to stand strong. And that particular relay team that year, they were the last man standing. Everybody else had already qualified. They put them back on the track by themselves. They said, well, you run the race again. If you can qualify on time, so be it. And then, you know, by the time they got to the final, they did qualify. Every good lane was already taken. They had the last lane left. Last man standing. But they won that race. I mean, imagine what they would have done if they were in lane five. Or lane six, because those are the favorite lanes. The turns are not so sharp. But they were in the hardest lane that the turns were so sharp, but still they won that race. They won that Olympic race. They won the gold and they brought it in for the US. And mine was a day of glory. All because one person had the sense to say, a baton is knocked out of your hand, but pick it up and finish the race. Glory to God. Don't give in. Don't give up. Finish the race. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's my exhortation to you today. Don't give in. Don't give up. Finish the race. Stand fast in the faith and keep standing no matter what. Hallelujah. Let me give you two last verses of exhortation and then we're going to pray. Now, Isaiah 44 and verse 23. I love this one. Praise God. It says, look, the Lord has already done it. You know, why do we get exhortations like this? You know, if the Lord has already done it, the Lord has already done it. You don't need to tell me the Lord has done it if he has done it. Hope that he's saying it's not hope. No, but this kind of exhortation is when it doesn't look like the Lord has already done it. That's right. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't even smell like it. But that's the time that you know that you know. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, and O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord has redeemed me and glorified himself in my life. Put your name there. He has already done it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord goes on to say, I am your Redeemer. I formed you from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. Hallelujah. And I frustrate the tokens of the liars in your life. Now, liars will come against you and say, well, it's not going to be like you are believing God for. You are already knocked down, so stay down. These are all tokens of liars. But here's what the Lord says to you. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12, and after I read this verse, I'm going to pray right away. Verses 12 and 13, this is what the Lord will say unto every one of us that's in this room today. Now, this is an encouragement room this morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, here's God's promise for us. For ye shall go out with joy. Hallelujah. And ye shall be led forth with peace. Now, peace, we already defined it, doesn't necessarily mean the absence of trouble. But it means even in the midst of trouble, even in the eye of the storm, you will have peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Glory to God. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Can trees clap their hands? Well, absolutely, if the Lord says so. But they represent people. Jesus healed one man one time and said, what do you see? He said, well, I see these people looking like trees and so on. You know, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, ye shall be those. You know, so they represent people. God will line up people to celebrate your victory and celebrate your success. But you must stand fast in the faith. And you must not stay down for the count. You must be strong in the Lord. And you must pick up the baton and finish the race. Glory to God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus over everyone that's listened to me today. These are words that they've not heard before. But the Bible says, in as much as the day is approaching, encourage one another again. So Lord, I encourage everyone that's in this room today. That no matter how dark the night is, the day is coming. The day will break. The night cannot last forever. And I encourage everyone in this room today, Lord, by your word, that they will stand fast in the faith. They will stand their ground. They will not give an inch until the devil goes down to hell. You will not give an inch. You're going to stand your ground. You're going to believe the Lord. No matter what, glory to God, you stand fast in the faith, even if you are the last one standing, be standing. Hallelujah. Stand fast. And having done all, stand. Right? Devil throw everything against you, stand. When you are up, stand. When you are down, stand. No matter what is going on, stand fast in the faith. For it is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He will not fail you. He will not disappoint you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Father, we thank you for everyone that's in the room today. I pray this prayer over everyone that's listening. No matter what it looks like now, you stand with what you already believed. If the devil will paint you a picture that it's not going to be, never mind that. Stand fast in the faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.